This is Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell, awakening the world to the power of God's Word. And now here is your host, Dr. William Campbell.
Welcome to Beyond Words Radio, where it's our ambition to move beyond simply talking about Christianity to walking more like Christ. As we do so, we sometimes wonder, what does that mean? How do I know God? How do I follow this God, walking with Him, when I don't know who He is? Well, God has given us something very special to make all this possible. It's a book. It's an operations manual. It's called the Bible. And we have with us a guest from England. His name is Tim Chester, and he's written a book recently about the book. His book is titled Bible Matters. Tim, thank you for joining us today.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Tim, so you're pastor of Grace Church in North Yorkshire, and you have been pastoring, it sounds like, for 20 years. Why is it so important that we get our hands on the Bible and let it affect our hearts?
I think one reason is that it is, all the reasons stem from the fact that it is God's word. So it's a human book. It was written by human authors. That's true. And there's you get a sort of flavor of that as you begin to read different books within the Bible. They're written by different people, and they have the sort of stamp of their different characters. But it's also a divine book. This is God's word. God was speaking through those human authors. And so this is a word from God. And that's the kind of first reason, the main reason. But then there are kind of things flow from that. The first, of course, is that it's true. The second is that it is a divine word of authority that is that we're meant to obey. But I think what I really want to emphasize, particularly in the book, is that it's a living word through which we have a relationship with God. So it's not just that God spoke 2,000 plus years ago when he wrote the Bible, but actually through the Holy Spirit, who enabled the human authors to write what they wrote, through the Holy Spirit, God speaks today as we read it, as we hear it read, as we hear it preached. So it's a dynamic thing that brings us into a relationship with God. And so it's a life-giving word. It's a creative word. It's a relational word. And so that's why I think it has to be so central to who we are as human beings and to our churches and our communities.
In your book, you give the analogy of bacteria. You could be reading a book and not notice there's bacteria on the book, you know, and in the same way, maybe you read the Bible and don't notice that God's speaking. Let me throw another analogy at you for response. But here we are both talking, but there's an ocean separating us. The internet allows us to be live. It's as though you're right here in the studio with me, Tim. And in fact, in some measure you are. But is that how it is with God? We open the book and God's right there.
Yes, I think that's right. So the point of the bacteria analogy is trying to imagine what it would take for the bacteria on my book, as it were, to engage with me, the reader, to engage with a human being, to have a relationship. And it's just impossible to conceive of that happening, even if there was some way of communicating. The kind of concepts that we have in common are so vastly different that it would be impossible for a relationship to take place. And there's a sense in which that is true for human beings and God. Certainly from our perspective, there is no way that we can reach up to God and communicate with him and understand him, have the conceptual framework to make sense of who he is. But God in his grace has reached down to us, ultimately, primarily through his son. He himself has become human in the person of his son, Jesus Christ. But also he's communicated through his word, through the spirit-breathed word, and the spirit enables us then to understand God. We can't understand God fully, but we can understand God truly. We can be sure of what we are, what we hear when we read God's word. And so that huge gulf, to use your analogy, that sort of vast ocean, that huge gap between us and God is bridged through the word of God.
You say the word, when I open the Bible, is every word inspired by God?
Yes.
So the word yes.
Quite sure. That's certainly how the Bible speaks of itself. Paul talks about all Scripture being God breathed out, and I think there are lots of good reasons to take that at face value. And actually, that's my experience of reading the Bible. And you know, we can have lots of debates about, are there inconsistencies? How might they be resolved? What's the manuscript evidence that this is the authentic version that we've got in our hands, and so on? But the reality is, what really persuades me that the Bible is God's word in its entirety is actually the way I experience it. I experience it as a life-giving word that challenges me, warms me, refreshes my heart. One of the analogies I use in the book is, how can I trust my wife? I could hire a sort of private investigator to sort of follow her everywhere, who report back to me. But actually, I don't do that. The reason I trust my wife is that over nearly 30 years of marriage now, I have found her always and ever to be faithful and consistent and loving towards me. And in the same way, the reason I trust God's word is not that I've done some extensive research on, in terms of all the alternatives or how it was sort of first compiled or so on. It is because day by day, over many years, I have found it to be a reliable book. And if you have listeners who are skeptical, who are unsure whether the Bible is worth trusting, I would invite them to read it for themselves. That's got to be the beginning, and see what you make of it, and see whether, in fact, you find it to be trustworthy.
I love your book because you're encouraging us to get into the book. And I believe the great dilemma facing the church in the West today is that we've not been reading the book, and so we don't trust it. And someone can come along and make up any old story about why we shouldn't trust it, and we tend to trust the story instead of reading the book. It is alive. It's dynamic. So you're telling us every word is inspired because the Bible says so, but we find it to be so as we read it. What about the authors? Are they all inspired? How does that work?
Yes. So I think the answer is yes. All the human authors were inspired. And I think the way that works is that the Spirit works in them. So they are writing. I don't know whether they felt inspired at the time. Some of the prophets almost certainly did, because it talks in those terms, the Spirit of God coming upon them. But then you've got someone like Luke, who in his gospel talks about how he's carefully investigated everything. And you can imagine him kind of compiling some evidence and interviewing some people and writing some letters to get a bit of information. He's put everything carefully together, and yet the Bible talks about God working in and through that process, so that what we have is a genuinely and fully human book, and at the same time, a genuinely and fully divine book. And those two things come together. And in a sense, that's the genius of Scripture, if I can put it like that, that we have both of those realities side by side.
You mentioned rightly the Islamist view of the Quran, of their holy book, is that it was mechanically dictated. This, again, is not the way the Bible was given to us. We're told that God worked through the human personality such that it's fully human, and yet God was the ghostwriter. It's fully divine. It's fully trustworthy. A very different idea, isn't it? So I think it's a wonderful thing to consider. That's also how God, in a similar way, works through us. Salvation is such a mystery. The Almighty God living in me, in you, as human as you are, as human as I am. It just baffles the mind. So if you're just tuning in, we have with us Tim Chester. He's written a book called Bible Matters, subtitled Making Sense of Scripture. Tim, was there a time when Scripture didn't make much sense to you, when you really didn't believe it?
I think I became a Christian when I was 4 years old.
Good for you.
And I remember a distinct moment. My parents were Christians. My father was a pastor. And it was one Sunday evening, and I was talking with my mom at bedtime, and she called my father. We prayed together. The only kind of interesting thing about that is that about 20 years later, when I was in my 20s, I was chatting with my parents, and I said, well, I think I became a Christian when I was four, and I described what happened. And they said, well, it's funny you should say that. We hadn't talked about it really at all in between. They said, that's when we think you became a Christian. So I kind of grew up with the Bible being part of my life. But I think what was really important for me, and I hope that the book kind of captures something of this, sense of this, what was really important for me was that realizing that the Bible is not just a book of information. It is that. You know, it contains true information about God. It contains knowledge, truth, doctrine, so that we know God truly, so that we have a right understanding of ourselves, of the world, of sin, of salvation, and so on. But it's more than that. It is actually, as I said earlier, a relational book in which we hear the voice of God, in which we encounter the presence of God. And that really transformed the way I approached the Bible, saw the Bible, thought about the Bible. As I was reading it, I was not just reading it to see if I could add a little bit more information to my kind of database of knowledge about God. That's actually, in the end, that becomes a rather sterile way of reading Scripture and kind of pushes you just to seek out more and more novelty. Instead, what I'm doing as I read the Scripture is listening to the voice of God. And that, from time to time, that will include learning new information, but it will more often, particularly as you get older as a Christian, more often it is a reassuring of what you already know, or a challenge to live by what you already know. It's a relational encounter. Again, to use the sort of analogy of marriage, a wife on her wedding anniversary, she sort of opens that card or has that sort of candlelit conversation over a meal with her husband. She does not want new information in that moment. What she wants is to hear again that her husband loves her and that she can trust him. And so it is, that's how we come and read the Bible. We're not looking for new information all the time. Above all, what we're looking for is the reassurance of a husband's love, of Christ's love for his church. And it's that kind of relational encounter, I think, that, I mean, you said earlier ago that often we're not really reading the Bible. And I think perhaps that's because people come just looking at it as a kind of encyclopedia of theology, just to find out more stuff about God. And all of that's true and all of that's important. But it's actually thinking of it as a kind of love letter, or just this kind of place where we encounter God and spend time with God. I think that really creates a whole different way of viewing the Scriptures.
That's certainly how King David in his Psalms viewed the Scriptures. He just longed to be in the Word so that he could be close to God and be inspired by God and be fed with the Word. Like we think of Psalm 23, he presses me down in a green pasture. As you picture a shepherd helping the sheep to calm down and get nourished. And God does that in his Word. So thank you for that. It's so beautiful. As you said, if we're going after knowledge in the Bible, we may never be satisfied, or we may always be looking for a new thing, a new twist, and become bored and say, I've already read the book. Thanks. I don't need to read it again. But if we think about it as a place to encounter the Almighty God, who wants to miss that?
It's indeed, just amazing. Indeed. I mean, and you mentioned the Psalms, you mentioned David. I was reading Psalm 19 with a group of people yesterday, and that's where it talks about how the Word of God is perfect and trustworthy and radiant. Mm. And then what it does, it refreshes the soul. It gives joy to the heart. It gives light to the eyes. That, again, as you say, that's so much. I really, 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 I do not want to undermine the importance of the Bible as the place where we find information about God. It is the place. It's the authoritative place. It's so important that we go to the Bible and not go elsewhere. And I think we have some contemporary challenges where in our culture, more and more, we go to experience in order to find out who we are and who God is and truth and so on. And we need to go. It needs to be Scripture that we're going to instead of experience, or at least going to Scripture to understand experience. So the Bible as a source of truth about God, absolutely crucial and vital. But I want to say it's more than that. It is this place where we go for our souls to be refreshed, for joy to come to our hearts, for light to our eyes.
We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Scripture Awakening. Awakening the world to the power of God's Word. Read B90, study B next, and live beyond. Read B90. Bible in 90 Days provides a panoramic view of the sweeping story of God's Word. Almost 250,000 people worldwide have read through the Bible from cover to cover using Bible in 90 days. Study Be Next. Be Next is a natural next step after reading B90. Be Next Bible studies are available in digital and print formats, and now the corresponding Amazing Journey video series. Live Beyond. Beyond Words radio satellite broadcast and podcast feature insightful interviews from a wide range of Christian leaders that will both inform and inspire. Move beyond just talking about your faith to living it.
Welcome back to Beyond Words Radio. This is Bill Campbell, and we're so glad you're with us today. We have with us a guest who is a pastor of some 20 years. He's talking to us from England, from North Yorkshire. And Tim Chester has a real love for Scripture. And so we're talking about the book he's recently written, just came out in 2017, Bible Matters, Making Sense of Scripture. Tim, as we carry this forward, I want to ask you, there may be many people who think, you know, the Bible's for scholars. I don't read it because I don't think I can understand it. I don't have a lot of training. How do you respond to that person?
Yeah, I think there, and I try and include some of them in the book, some very simple ways of approaching Scripture that really help us to get our heads around it. But I think there's some, and yes, some of those are in the book, but I think there are other things to say, and perhaps these are more important to say. One is that we are, as Christians, we are indwelt by the Spirit of God. The same Spirit that authored the Scriptures, and that the Spirit opens our eyes. He gives us revelation. He helps us to understand the Scripture. So the Spirit who spoke through the human authors back then when they wrote is the same Spirit that is at work in us as we read the Scripture, so that we are enlightened in order to understand it. So that's a really important thing to bear in mind all the time, to bear that in mind. Mm. I think also the Scripture is, in what matters, it is clear. I think that's a really important truth to hold on to. And the problem with understanding is not actually with the Bible most of the time, it's actually with the reader. And what I mean by that is that we are all sinners. And one of the features of our sin is that we have a tendency towards self-justification. We want to justify the way we want to live our own lives. We want to do what we want to do, and then we use our minds to find excuses or reasons, however we want to put it, for doing that. And the danger is, or the real thing that, that the most common reason we get Scripture wrong is because we're coming to it, trying to make it say what we want it to say. And actually, scholars are as guilty of that as everybody else, and in some cases more so. Mm-hmm. And so actually, what's really important if you want to read Scripture aright is not that you have a degree in theology, but actually that you have a humble heart that is willing to submit to God and recognizes its need of God. And that, again, is the work of the Spirit. It means that we come prayerfully, and I hope that in the book I try and really energize that sense of praying, of reading prayerfully, because it's one of those things that we all say, yes, of course, you should pray before you read the Bible. You know, it's like motherhood and apple pie. Everybody agrees with that. But we don't really do it with the kind of energy and enthusiasm, because we haven't really grasped how key it is if we're to avoid reading it in a selfish or self-serving or self-justifying way. My point, though, is that actually, the main things that stop us reading well are things that every Christian can overcome with the help of the Spirit. We can come to the Word humbly, we can come prayerfully, and then if we do that, then we can come expectantly, because we can trust the Spirit to reveal Christ to us in the pages of the Bible.
Very good. You're basically saying for the essential things, it's accessible to all of us. If we humble ourselves and ask God for help, His Spirit will help guide us to understand. Yes. And that being said, also scholarship is to be appreciated and sometimes needed because, and I want you to carry this forward, but you do mention this rightly, that the Bible was written with different genres, different types of literature within this library of the Bible, and secondly, different cultural contexts. So sometimes we get an added more deep understanding to understand the original place and time in which particular parts were written. Is that so?
Yes, absolutely. So that all of that matters, exactly as you put it. I would say even more importantly, in order to understand any part of the Bible, it really helps to have a sense of the big picture of the kind of big narrative from creation right through to new creation, from Genesis to Revelation. And the more you've got that in place, the more kind of able you are to make sense of the bits, particularly when you're reading the Old Testament. That can be a bit of a puzzle unless you've got a sense of how this is all leading up to Christ, finding its fulfillment in Christ and in his people, the church, and ultimately in a new creation. And so the more you can have that big picture narrative, the better. And that's where people who have read scripture, who have kind of had their heads in scripture, that's where they can be really helpful, because they're able to make those connections. You know, the sense in which the more you read the Bible, the easier it becomes, because you're able to then start making those connections in your mind. But I'd really encourage people as a sort of starter is to read a book or read something. I've given some suggestions in my book of where to go to get yourself that big picture of the Bible's big story, and that will really help you understand all the component parts.
The whole interpreting the parts, a wonderful principle and essential for a good interpretation. Whole movements have been built, and cults, you know, the pseudo-Christian groups have formed out of those who take one verse and try to build a teaching on it, instead of looking first at the big picture through which the one verse then is giving the right dressing and understanding. So as a reader, they're often in modern day readers who will just dwell in the New Testament. If a reader is stuck that way, they don't like the Old Testament, they don't read it, what comment might you have for them?
Well, I always say that's a little bit like you need the Old Testament to understand the New Testament, but you can only understand the Old Testament in the light of the New Testament, because you remember Jesus on the road to Emmaus and the disciples, he meets those two disciples there and they're bemoaning the fact that Jesus has died. And he says, how foolish you are, because you've not understood that all the scriptures, and that there he's talking about the Old Testament, all of that was pointing to the Messiah and his sufferings. So all of scripture is pointing, all the Old Testament is pointing to Jesus. And so in order to understand Jesus, we need the Old Testament. In order to understand the Old Testament, you need Jesus. So I often think of it as like a little bit like a joke with a punchline. Jesus is the punchline. But if you're really going to understand the punchline, you need the setup. And the Old Testament is the setup. Obviously, conversely, if you just read the setup, then it doesn't really make sense if you don't actually finish with Jesus. And a lot of people read the Old Testament in that way, kind of divorced from Jesus. You're not really going to make sense of it if you're not understanding it as it is fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I think the key thing is to go to the Old Testament. You need to go to the Old Testament, but seeing it as fulfilled in Christ, that's when it will really come alive for you.
We have with us Tim Chester. He's talking about the Bible is a source of our life and nutrition and something needed for all of us. And if you're listening and you say, well, I don't really know the God of the Bible, listen, the Bible is the way you can come to know God. Tim, is it possible for someone who has no religious background and maybe no understanding of God at all to read the Bible and find this eternal life that is offered therein?
Absolutely it is, because the Bible is, it contains the gospel message, the good news about Jesus. And I remember meeting a young man who was from a very rural situation. He got hold of a Bible. His parents weren't Christians. He didn't live near any local church, and certainly not one that was preaching the gospel. He read the scriptures and came to faith in Christ. And then it was only when he was finally left home, came to university to study, and linked up with our church that he had any experience of other Christians. But he'd become a Christian by reading the scriptures.
This final thought, I think, is really important. Some of us have the main issue that we don't believe the Bible's God's word, but many there are who do believe it, and yet perhaps the greatest barrier for them to experiencing God's presence, his joy, a sense of victory in the challenges we all face in the world, an awareness of his love, a knowledge that he's answering prayer, all these things coming through reading the word and its promises. These things aren't being experienced. Why? Because of that great enemy called busyness. We're so busy getting our daily physical food to feed our bodies, we forget about the spiritual. Or maybe we're exercising our bodies, but not our spirits, not spending time in the Word, not listening to God. And therefore, our prayer lives become deflated, and we see little answer to prayer. What do you say to the person who doesn't have a regular pattern, a daily habit of being with God and reading the Bible?
Well, part of my answer to that, well, one answer to that is actually there's a danger, I think, that we think that this sort of reading the Bible on my own every day is this kind of key measure of spirituality. I'm not sure about that. You've got to remember that most Christians throughout most human history have not read their Bible every day because they could not read it. And if they could, they didn't have access to it. What we really need, we do, though, need to be people who are immersed in God's word. And if you can read, and if you own a copy of the scriptures, then why would you not want to read that every day? But also, I want to say, I'd encourage you to say, this is something we do as a community of people. And so if you're bumping into Christians through the day, whether those are in your immediate family or in your wider church family, then be talking about the Bible together. So that it just becomes a normal part of your conversation. But let's go back to your original question. The first guy that I pastored a church with, the two of us together, he always used to say, people always find time for what they think's important. If they've got a TV show that they're watching, or they want to go on Facebook, or whatever it is, they'll find time for that. And if you really realize what a precious gift the scriptures are, you will find time for it. Why is it that we don't have time? Actually, this is the flip side, is because we're not embracing the truth that scripture teaches. I think actually most people are busy. I think perhaps mothers of young children are my one exception. They really just life is overwhelming when you've got small children. But most people are over busy because they're not trusting God's grace, so they're trying to prove themselves, or they're not trusting God's fatherly care, so they're trying to control their lives, trying to make everything sorted out, or they're not living for God's approval. Instead, they're living for other people's approval, so they can never say no. So there's all these reasons. The reason we're busy, so busy in our lives, is actually because we're not trusting, we're not embracing, we're not hearing the message of Scripture. So it's not just that we have to solve our busyness so that we can have time for Scripture. Actually, it is the message of Scripture that it keeps speaking to our hearts. That will actually be what solves our busyness, because we'll be able to trust God for our justification, for our proving ourselves, for our families and our lives and our world and our day. And we won't be so driven into this sort of restless, ceaseless activity in order to kind of control our world and prove ourselves to God or to others and so on. So actually the Bible is as much a solution to busyness as it is a symptom of the problem.
Very good. Very good. Thank you, Tim Chester. This has been excellent. And to those who have been listening, thank you. And we'll see you next week.
This has been Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell. Beyond Words is a ministry of Scripture Awakening. And if you'd like to help support this ministry, or if you'd like to know more about Beyond Words, visit us on our website at scriptureawakening.com.